Hello, hello, and welcome back. I'm your host Kerim, and you are listening to Euro on Euro, the Eurovision Song Contest show on CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver, broadcasting from the University of British Columbia, which is situated on the traditional, ancestral, and stolen territories of the Han Communum-speaking Musqueam people. We are in the 30th episode of Euro on Euro. This is a milestone for the show, and as you know, we are going backwards in recapping the Eurovision Song Contest year by year. In this episode, we will be talking about Eurovision 1995. Just to give you a heads up, this will be a shorter than usual episode with very few songs that I would like to play, and in line with how little words the lyrics of the winning song involved back in Eurovision 1995. Without further ado, I will start with a brief introduction on Eurovision 1995, but before that, although I know that I have decided not to cover the recent editions of Eurovision anymore in this show due to Eurovision's decision to keep including the genocidal state of Israel. But I would like to say a few words about the current state of the Eurovision. As you might have heard, Eurovision 2025 was held a couple of weeks ago. Actually like a month ago, 4 weeks ago, because that was the week where we had the last episode of Euro on Euro, latest episode of Euro on Euro, I watched the show because even though I think Eurovision needs to be boycotted, due to me hosting a show on the politics and social events affecting Eurovision, due to this show being about that, I keep following that. And it was painful to see what Eurovision has become, especially considering how much I cover the past Eurovisions, the old Eurovisions, how much more it involved, how many more countries it involved, how many different genres of songs it involved. It's really painful to see, because the worst part is, of course, having the genocidal state of Israel showing up on the stage. Not only that, the EBU's voting system, European Broadcasting Union's voting system, allows the public televote to be rigged by Israel. Israel buys a lot of votes. Israel unjustly puts up ads on all the billboards, even the YouTube coverage of the Eurovision. In some countries, some ads pop up urging people to vote for Israel. So this results in Eurovision winning all the public televotes it enters, like since last year, I think, because in 2024, a rule was introduced in 2024 or 2023 that removed the jury vote from the semifinals. And since then, in all semifinals that Israel participated, they win, even though they are not shown as the favorite song among either bookmakers or among the general public. This happens due to them buying the televote, and the current system allows them to do so. There are no sanctions, just like there are no sanctions in the genocide that they are conducting right now in Palestine, in Gaza. Just like how they abducted 12 activists who were bringing humanitarian aid, food to Gaza in a boat called Madeleine, named after the first woman fisher of Gaza, that also involved Greta Thunberg, the person who is known for her climate change activism, her Fridays for Future, if I remember correctly, school strike for Friday for Future, protesting against the climate change and how governments are not doing anything. They abducted these people. They didn't allow them to bring food to Gaza. They tortured them, although they showed a lot of photos there. In which they were handing out sandwiches, food, or other stuff to those people. They did handcuff them, like reverse handcuff them, etc., and subject them to mistreatment. And how they get away without any sanctions or any punishment against these kind of acts is represented on the Eurovision too. Israel said they are allowing food aid in Gaza, but they open fire to people who come to the collection spots to get the food aid that they desperately need. So food aid in Israel's hands becomes another means of genocide, or they support some small groups within Gaza that claim that they are fighting against Hamas, the resistance group, or other Palestinian or other groups in the Palestinian resistance axis, and who are urging people to come to quote-unquote safe areas, which are basically concentration camps. So these are, I just told it to mention the recent acts, genocidal acts by Israel, but what I want to say is just like these go unpunished, the vote rigging in the Eurovision by Israel goes unpunished too, and how they harass the, how the Israeli delegation Eurovision harass the other artists, especially the ones that are vocal against the genocide in Palestine, or how they make mean comments about the artists that participate in the Eurovision. These also go unpunished too. And this is painful to see because they also came in second, and they were very close to winning the Eurovision, which would be the end of Eurovision, I think. Because right now, I think Eurovision is in a coma, and whoever is still watching it is waiting for a waiting for an impossible awakening. The tragedy of this lies in the simplicity of how easy it is to rescue the Eurovision, if you will. Because I see, to me, the solution is very simple. Like, the Eurovision Broadcasting Union should kick the Israel out of Eurovision, and secondly, they should abolish the jury vote, because these two are killing all the diversity and the excitement, joy, fun in the Eurovision. Israel, needless to say so, whenever they are on the stage, they are either talking about their genocide in a glorious way, or they are like, their sheer presence is a disgrace to me, like in the Eurovision stage. Like, it's a way of I don't know if it's the right word to say so, but whitewashing their crimes against humanity. This year, they, like all like past year, they keep sending songs about how they will be victorious in their war against Palestinian people, in their genocide, and I think it should be banned. The reason I say the jury vote should be abolished too is jury favors a very particular type of music, and this is a very pop type, a very conventional type of music, and it is basically against any country that want to send songs in their folkloric instruments or folkloric tunes, and this is against the traditional way or the preferences of the songs that Eastern European countries generally send, and not only the raising costs of Eurovision is pushing these countries, especially Eastern European countries, away, but also the jury preferences make it impossible for them to win. Like last year, the Swiss entry that won the Eurovision was great. Nemo performed amazingly, and this year also the winning song, winning artist JJ was amazing. However, these were both two very similar songs, and I wouldn't be surprised if next year Eurovision would turn into an opera competition, which is not a, which I don't think is a bad thing, but as long as the jury vote is there, this is basically saying whoever sends a traditional song, whoever sends a song in their own language, you won't get a chance to, like, come out, do your thing, but that's it. There's no way you are going to participate to win. And this was also marked by the lack of all ex-Yugoslavian countries, or ex-Yugoslav countries, in the grand final of the Eurovision. So, and one other thing is that is killing Eurovision Song Contest, in my opinion, is the anti-booing technology that the EBU uses. Whenever Israel is on the stage, there are protests from the audience. Like, they chant Free Palestine, they boo the participant. But we don't hear it on the YouTube coverage, because EBU puts fake clapping or fake applause on top of that voice, and they shut down the audience microphone completely. If you check out the Eurovision Song Contest coverages from past years, like 2021, 2019, 18, etc., you can hear the audience accompanying the song, accompanying the singers in the song, or clapping, or whatever. Or whatever reaction that they are giving the song, it's no longer there. You don't hear any audience. It's just the singer on the stage that we are hearing, and the, all the recording, like backing vocals and the music. It's like watching a karaoke competition, and it's no more fun anymore, at least to me. The main reason that they do it, of course, to protect the image of Israel. Also, one more thing, Eurovision is applying a heavy censorship on especially women who want to talk about their sexualities. Like, for example, this year's Maltese entry was a song named Cunt. It sounds like a swear word in English, but it was actually a Maltese word. And since female singer singing it, and the Eurovision forced them to change the name of their song. And secondly, Finnish entry was by Erika Wickman, Ihkomme, was about, again, the like sexuality of the singer, a woman. But Eurovision urged them to be careful about their clothing, because it was quote-unquote not appropriate for the children watching. But last year, when Finland sent a man singing about, it was a song, No Rules, and they were like naked below the waist, just wearing something at the front, Eurovision allowed that. So it is turning into a very conservative competition with a censorship against women who want to talk about or mention their sexualities. And these are all the things that is making Eurovision no more fun anymore. This is, to me, the current state of Eurovision. And I wonder what the future will bring, but it's no longer fun to watch for me anymore. But it's not about me having fun, of course. It's about how Israel still gets to have a stage despite the genocide that they are perpetrating right now, the ongoing genocide, and how it should still be boycotted. So this was what I wanted to say. I really considered a lot about whether talking about this or not, because, as I said before, I'm not covering the current Eurovisions anymore in this show. But still, I thought, since this show is about the political and social aspect of Eurovision, these are important to mention. So let's start talking about Eurovision 1995, and I will be quick with this episode, as I said before. Eurovision 1995 was held in Point Theatre in Dublin, Ireland, and this was special for Ireland for several reasons. First, this marked the 25th anniversary of Ireland's first Eurovision win in 1970 by Dana and her song All Kinds of Everything. Dana is a singer from Northern Ireland, north of Ireland, I apologize. And while covering her entry, we will talk about the troubles that the armed conflict in north of Ireland. And why I mentioned this here, because Eurovision 1995 marked the 25th anniversary of Ireland. By the way, I feel like I made a mistake. Dana was from north of Ireland. I need to double check the information. Sorry about that. Eurovision 1995 is the 25th anniversary of Ireland's first win in Eurovision, and this was recognized by welcoming Dana, the winner, the first ever winner for Ireland, among the audience. And let's hear those moments very briefly.
Ireland's first Eurovision winner, Dana.
I apologize for technical difficulties. We couldn't get to hear the first part, but I'm sure you heard the applause for Dana. And secondly, I will play the... The second reason that Eurovision 1995 was important for Ireland was that this Eurovision was held on the birthday of Johnny Logan, who was then the only person to win the Eurovision twice, representing Ireland, and this was celebrated too. Let's hear those moments as well.
Eurovision. The second person I'd like to introduce has won the Eurovision more times than anyone else in the history of the contest. He's celebrating his birthday today, but he wouldn't tell me which one. Mr. Eurovision, Johnny Logan.
That was the audience celebrating Johnny Logan's birthday by singing him happy birthday. With that, let me prepare for the next tune I'm going to play in the meanwhile. Yep. Third reason that this was a special Eurovision for Ireland was that, ironically, this was the third time Ireland was hosting in a row, following the only hat-trick wins in the Eurovision history from 1992 to 1994. Ireland won three times in a row, and they hosted the contest three times in a row. However, hosting the contest is a significant burden on the city Eurovision, where the Eurovision is held in. So, it is widely rumored that Ireland deliberately sent a weak entry in order not to win, and indeed, they succeeded in that. Ireland was represented by Eddie Frail and his song Dreamin', and he finished 14th. So Ireland didn't win, they didn't get to host the Eurovision for 1 year at least. In 1996, they won again with an amazing song, the best Eurovision song in history, in my opinion, The Voice by Emer Queen, which we heard in our last episode. And on a in-depth discussion about that, please check out our last episode. Even though Eurovision 1995 was not won by the country of Ireland, the winner duo included one Irish person. Mentioning that, I want to say a few more trivia about Eurovision 1995. Eurovision 1995 was the last Eurovision until 2021 to involve a top three with non-English songs. There was a Scandinavian domination, with Norway winning the contest, Sweden coming in second, and Denmark rounding up the top three. And this was the last edition of Eurovision until Eurovision 2013 to have only one host, and Eurovision 1995 was hosted by Mary Kennedy. In addition to all these, this was the 40th Eurovision Song Contest to be had, and for this there was a great intro showing snippets from past Eurovisions. If you haven't done so, I recommend you to check it out. Also, there was a great interval act called Lumen, which is composed by Mihalo Solovain, and I really like that interval act, and just like previous interval acts that I like, I would like to play that in this episode of Euro Nero before we hear the winning song. So let's hear the interval act of Lumen, composed by Mihalo Solovain, and after that I will take a short break and we will be back continue talking about Eurovision 1995.
There are sweets in the songs. heartbeat. The sound rings, the heart sends. In this same space, all the human race are children of the light.
We are UBC Electronica, and we love electronic music such as
Run for them life when I step into the jungle.
We offer DJ workshops, open decks, pop-up parties, and more. Follow our socials such as Instagram, Discord, or join us through email ubcelectronica@gmail.com.
TransCare BC works to enhance the coordination of trans health services across the province and offer expanded health services to support transgender communities. They are doing this by developing gender-affirming client-centered models of service, ensuring access to gender-affirming and supportive healthcare that is equitable and available, and supporting network development to make sure trans and gender-diverse individuals, their families, and healthcare providers have access to information, resources, and support. Check out phsa.ca to learn more about this program and lend your voice to help create an inclusive and supportive system for trans members of our community.
Welcome back, everyone. You are on CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver, and you are listening to Euronero, the Eurovision Song Contest show of CITR. And we are talking about Eurovision 1995. Before the break, we have heard an interval act, an Irish interval act called Lumen by the composer Mihal O'Sullivan. The theme of the Lumen, piece Lumen, was linked, according to Mihal O'Sullivan, with the dance between the dark and light experienced at the solstices and equinoxes, those time of the year where balance holds, tips, and holds again, according to him. A very poetic way of saying it. The Lumen concert... The Lumen was introduced in Eurovision 1995, and I would like to say a few words about Mihal O'Sullivan as well. He was a professor and was one of Ireland's best known musicians, composers, and academics. He passed away in 2018, but he was born in Clonmel in County Tipperary. He was an emeritus professor of music at the University of Limerick, and he was the founder and director at the Irish World Academy of Music and Dance, which he formed in 1994. He also recorded a series of pioneering solo albums, which repositioned his chosen instrument, the piano, at the heart of Irish traditional music, while also revealing the intersections where classical and traditional music could coexist, according to University of Limerick. With that, I would like to talk about the winning song of Eurovision 1995. I have mentioned about them, the song and the winner of Eurovision 1995, briefly in our latest episode covering Eurovision 1996. But let me remind here, Eurovision 1995 was won by Norway with their representatives Secret Garden and their famous song Nocturne. This is a song that was sung in Norwegian in the contest and English at the winner's performance that night, later that night. It is the song with the least amount of words in its lyrics to win the Eurovision Song Contest, with only 24 words included. These words translate to, "Let the day get its rest now, and the night will guard in its place. Nocturne. Even the darkness must disappear sometime, so the night can give birth to a day," in English. This is one of the best entries to win the Eurovision, in my opinion. It involved a violin played by the Irish artist Fionnuala Sherry and a keyboard by the Norwegian Rolf Lowland, who was also the composer of the song. This duo made up the band of Secret Garden, and they were joined on the stage of Eurovision by Gunhild Tvinnereim as the vocalist, Hans Frederik Jacobsen on the penny whistle, and finally Åsa Jinder playing the Nukel Harpa, which roughly means keyed fiddle or keyed harp, and is an instrument of unknown origins, with its historical roots mostly being found in Sweden. Nocturne is a, I think, very nice tune and a deserving winner, and let's hear it in the episode. I'll leave you with Nocturne by Secret Garden, the Eurovision of the winner of Eurovision 1995. I recommend wearing headphones if you can, not of course if you are on traffic, but I hope you will have the opportunity either right now or in the future to indulge yourself in this lovely piece of music.
One, two.
Lovely tune. It was the Nocturne representing Norway in Eurovision 1995 by the duo Secret Garden. Welcome back, everyone. You are on CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver, and you are listening to Euro Neuro, the Eurovision Song Contest show of CITR. That was basically like one of the two songs that I want to play in this episode. I think the other songs were great too, but none of them stood out for me to include in this episode. So I will move on, and I'll probably conclude with this next song that I'm going to play. I also would like to play the Greek entry because it's about a political issue, which is what our show Euroneuro is all about. The Greek entry for Eurovision 1995 was Pia Prosefi by Elena Konstantopoulos. And the name means which prayer in English. It's a question. This song is about the Greek-Macedonian naming dispute, which was a naming dispute and a long-standing political and diplomatic conflict between Greece and the Republic of Macedonia, or former Yugoslav Republic of Macedonia, its old name, and now it's called North Macedonia. This was a dispute over the use of the name Macedonia, and it began after Macedonia declared independence from Yugoslavia in 1991 and adopted the name Republic of Macedonia. Greece objected, arguing that the name implied territorial claims over its own northern region, also called Macedonia, and appropriated Greek cultural heritage, especially the legacy of Alexander the Great. Against this move to adopt the name of Republic of Macedonia, Greece responded by blocking the country's efforts to join international organizations like the European Union and NATO. As a compromise, Macedonia was admitted to the United Nations in 1993 under the provisional name of the former Yugoslav Republic of Macedonia, which it had been called for a very long time. In 2018, a breakthrough came with the Prespa Agreement, negotiated by Greek Prime Minister Alexis Tsipras of the party Syriza then, and Macedonian Prime Minister Zoran Zaev. Under this agreement, Macedonia agreed to change its name to North Macedonia in exchange for Greece lifting its objections to the country's European Union and NATO bids. In this song, the Greek entry of Eurovision 1995, Pia Prosefi. The song has the narrator asking about which prayer they should say for people who try to take their history, their throne, even only one star from them. I'm counting from the song. The star refers to the Vergina sun or Vergina star, an ancient Greek symbol that was adopted by North Macedonia in their flag, which was later altered for a different yet still the same sun. Also, the opening lines of this song are in ancient Greek to further emphasize the Greek heritage. And without further ado, let's hear the Greek entry for Eurovision 1995, Pia Prosefi by Elena Konstantopoulou. And after that, we will take a short break and I will wrap up this episode.
Come sempre da te, sei un fiume di parole dove anneghi anche me. Che bravo che sei, ma questo linguaggio da talk show cosa c'entra con noi? Provo un unico rimedio.
I apologize for the technical issue again. Our previous episode that's playing on the backup DJ hijacked the live show, so I couldn't play the Greek entry of Eurovision Song Contest 1995, Pia Prosefi by Elena Konstantopoulou, but here it comes now.
Και γάρε βούλον το μιάνε την γην ταύτην, μη γιγνώσκοντες την ύβριν ειν επίουν.
Είχα μια περίουση, η καταχραστήκανε, κανάν ιεροσηλεία κι ούτε που τραπήκανε. Την ιστορία της ζωής μου δε σκεφτήκανε. Ποια προσευχή εγώ να κάνω για τα κρίματα τους? Ποια προσευχή μπορώ να πω για να σωθούν? Στάζω κρασί για να ξεπλύνω τα αμαρτήματα τους. Ποια προσευχή να πω για αυτούς που με πονούν?
προσπαθήσανε. Ένα αστέρι είχα μόνο και το απαιτήσανε. Το πόσο άντεξα στο χρόνο αγνοήσανε.
DJ workshops, open decks, pop-up parties, and more. Follow our socials such as Instagram, Discord, or join us through email, ubcelectronica@gmail.com.
Picture this. You're walking into your local record store and start skimming the many records until you find an album that you recognize. You pick out the album, check the track list, and maybe only recognize a couple songs. Now you have to listen to the whole album, right? Well, why not do it together? On Discali, every show runs you through an entire album and breaks down key parts and songs that make up an album's aesthetic, art, and story. I'm your host, Oliver, and join me every Friday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. in talking about all things music. Want to discover more albums, artists, record pressings, and concerts? I got you. That's every Friday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m., so tune in to Discali to discover different discographies and add to the musical discourse.
One final welcome back, everyone. You are on CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver, and you are listening to Euronero, the Eurovision Song Contest show of CITR. We have reached the end of the episode where I was covering Eurovision 1995. It is for the shorter episode than usual, as I have said earlier at the beginning of the episode, with very few songs that stood out to me in 1995 that I wanted to share. But still, it involved a superb tune, in my opinion, Nocturne. I'm happy to have played it in this episode. I hope you enjoyed it. Our next episode will be covering Eurovision 1994. Until then, take care and goodbye.